Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. Well, hey, welcome back to today's episode. Here today we have Seth Williams, Casey Wilson, and Seth Stradling, and we're just going to be talking man stuff. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to be a husband, to be a man in a committed relationship in today's world. And so, guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks, AJ.
Thank you.
And actually, to kick us off, because out of the four of us sitting here, Stradling's the only unmarried dude here.
Yes, sir.
So, Stradling, why don't you kick us off with the first question today?
Yeah. At what point should a guy start looking at being serious about getting married? And what was the process like committing to the covenant of marriage?
How funny that you're the one asking those questions right now.
extremely funny.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, Seth, you want to start with this?
Start us off, Casey.
That is an awesome question. And so my wife and I, we've had children in the home for the last couple of years now. And we do foster care and hoping to adopt in the coming months. And so our children right now are 6, 7, 8 years old. And it's been really fun as a father to watch our children, and I'll watch our little girl that we have right now and soon to be hopefully little girls. And I'll watch her do things and see little attitudes in her. And I'm just like, oh God, poor guy. I hope she gets rid of that before she gets married. You know, you'll see little things in children. And so I would say the process, like, what's the process look like? It's day one. I really do believe that God has built it into the family to where you're training for marriage as a very little human being, as a little guy or a little girl, and on through teenage years and up into young manhood when finally you could be ready to do that. But I think it begins very early. Wouldn't you agree with that as you watch your children?
Yeah, I think that's good. I wasn't even, I wasn't even thinking that when posed with the question, but I think that's great. You started, you know, the training starts where they see a mother and father exhibiting, you know, if that's a good, healthy relationship and functional, I think your training, that's something that Alicia and I spoke about on a prior podcast, was we're training you for when you have your own families, and I'll envision my kids with that. I think that's important. It's like you said, is kids, one day you're going to run your own home. And this is why I'm sharing this with you, because I want you to be a better dad than I'll ever be. I want to raise the bar for you. I want you to be, you know, your ceilings, your first floor is right, way up here, you know. And so, and just the serious part, you know, about being serious about getting married, I think that's, you know, that the season is known in your heart. And I've shared on a separate podcast too, is like, I was in 7 weddings as a groomsman, and I was just knowing that I was saying, God, I don't want to be in another wedding, you know, except for my own. And sure enough, I mean, that prayer was heard, and I started getting serious about praying that prayer. Of
you're getting pretty jealous. I mean, 7 weddings.
Yeah,
I've only been in 6, yeah. So
yeah, I'm winning.
One more to go.
Yeah. And so that was just for me. I began to say, all right, I want to, Lord, this is an important decision. I want to give this to you. I want you to prepare my heart. I want you to prepare my wife's heart for when that day comes, you know. So.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's looking at there's an additional yes to everything that they've said. There's an additional really practical aspect that for you to look at is, where am I at in my life? Am I at a mature point where I can begin to handle walking through having serious relationship with another person that I'm with day in and day out? Mm-hmm. And am I ready and willing and committed to care for this person in every aspect? Am I willing to do what it takes to take care of this person financially? Am I willing to do what it takes to do the hard work and take care of this person emotionally, yeah, when they need it? And sometimes it you have to look at that reality for yourself of, am I at the mature enough point to walk into that and handle that well?
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, as I was earlier today, that word mature came to mind. That's what I was thinking. And then in my mind, asked a question. It was like, well, how would you define maturity? Because we say maturity all the time. And it made me think of the word responsibility. And there's quite a few other ones that you could throw in there. But I'm looking at the little guys in my family, and I'm thinking, okay. Or if a young man came to me and said, hey, do you think I'm ready for marriage? It really isn't an age thing. Right. I mean, there's a point. You want to be an adult, you know, 18, 19, 21. I mean, that's very young to get married, but I was married at 21.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to responsibility. Are you showing signs of, you know, being able to work and provide, being able to make friends? I mean, if your little boy's going to get married, you want him to have the skills to make a friend out of his new wife. You don't want him to be bad at that, but you want him to be able to manage a home and care for it and rule it and provide for it. And so responsibility is huge for me, not just for young males, but for women too, that they learn how to take responsibility of something and see it through. Because marriage really is about commitment, and you need to see that. And responsibility is kind of what shows us those things.
Yeah. And what you're talking is a great segue into our next question, where, you know, you're talking about the responsibility and the commitment of the covenant of marriage. And so what are some of the main pitfalls that we see guys get trapped in or distracted by, that can distract us or that cause you to like fall asleep at the wheel of your relationship? Mm. And so what are some of those things that you guys have observed?
I think honestly, in the question, covenant of marriage, related to what Casey just said about responsibility, is you really need to understand that a marriage is a covenant. And the only way I can understand a covenant in marriage, I don't understand it by the world, because if I feel bad one day, I'm out, or I just wake up and I'm tired of my wife, I'm gone. Covenant is till death do us part. If we understand covenant in the Old Testament and New Testament, Jesus died for us, and our relationship with him is a covenant. You know, Abraham, the covenant with Abraham, those pieces, that bowl split in two, God passed through with fire because he knew man couldn't hold it up. God is a covenant-keeping God. He's true to his promises. He is my example, and I want to be a covenant-keeping son. And if I'm that man, I'm, you know, it doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter what's going on in my day. And I have some bad, low days. But at the end of the day, I'm his son, and I'm a covenant-keeping man. And that's the huge word. I love that you put that in there. So to me, that's what every man entering into a marriage covenant needs to understand, that your marriage is only as strong as the covenant-keeping God you're depending on and falling in line with that.
Yeah, that's like a holy God like no other, too.
Yeah, we like to say around Christian Training Center that love grows from commitment, not commitment grows from love. Mm-hmm. And I know that's true in my life. Even when you think about your relationship with God, you know, there's a point, if you're going through a trial or hardship or you're going through just something, there's a point in it where, okay, I know God loves me. I know he works all things together for my good. But the real question comes down to, is that love committed to me? Like, is it bent to be there towards my good forever, for all time, mm-hmm. not just when it wants to, but at all times, in all seasons. Yeah. And with Eric and I, it's always been that commitment underneath. There's always trials or difficulties that you go through, highs and lows, joys, difficulties. But it's that commitment to one another that causes fruit, right? Mm-hmm. It's the base, it's the soil, I guess, that you could say that everything grows from. Yeah. And when it's there, some basic pitfalls, because that's what you're referring to. I just don't want to avoid the main ones. These start in Genesis. They're also mentioned. It's the way that Satan kind of attacks Jesus. It's what 1 John refers to. There's these big three groupings that kind of categorize everything, and that's the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. In some way, you could say sex, money, power. You could say those things. Mm-hmm. That is common to all men. And so I know that my pride, it's not something that I just have to deal with once in a while. It's constantly there, and I have to be aware of it. You know, that pursuit of my pride to prove my own independence over Erica rather than to prove us before the Lord together. Because you try to do that in a marriage. You compete rather than compliment. You rise above rather than rise together. And that's that pride in us that does that. Or it could be the allure of things that you see around you. I mean, we all have friends and people around us that are well accomplished in life, and maybe they have great luxuries and homes and different things that you love, and that covetousness comes in, and it causes your family to drift in a way from maybe what God's North Star is for you guys as a couple, right? And so it's these groupings, I think, it's not just one or other, a few things. It's that there's a constant within sin. I have to become very aware as a man that my own pride, my own idolatry, those things that I want for myself can rise up. And then this control thing where I want to satisfy my own needs and my own wants, my own pleasures. My goodness, all that's got to, you got to kill that thing every single day. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you said it well in that, like, it can be stated in the sex, money, power, you know, aspect where people want to be driven. They want to be successful. There is the fleshly side of lust, whether it's some, you know, some Instagram model that you're following that you shouldn't be following, or you're deep somewhere in the internet that you shouldn't be. Or texting somebody that's not your spouse that you shouldn't be texting because you have no business doing that. But when we look at these kinds of things, it comes down to also, like, there's within commitment is discipline. What are you putting in place in your life? What are the disciplines that you're putting in place that are the guardrails to your commitment, to your covenant that you've placed? Like, what are the disciplines you've put in your life that are going to help you stay accountable to those things?
Yeah, well, practically speaking, what is the number one thing for you personally in your relationship that keeps you focused and awake at the wheel? And just in Job, it says, how do you maintain a pure heart and make a covenant with your eyes, like Job said? So yeah, how does that look practically in your guys' married men lives?
You want to start, or you want me?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very simple, but... with my eyes, you're saying pure heart and make covenant with your eyes. I think with my heart, it's taking thoughts captive. It's, you know, when I begin to, if my thoughts wander, you hear that expression, I've got to be vigilant. We must stay vigilant at all times. We can't let our hearts wander. You think of David and when kings went off to war, he should have been battling. He should have been vigilant. Instead, he was on a rooftop overlooking and sees this woman with his eyes. So he's in the wrong place. He should have been vigilant and battling. He was on a rooftop, saw Bathsheba, boom, thought enters in, and you see the mess that fell out of just one act of lethargy or wanting to be, you know what, I don't want to go to war right now. I'd rather just kick back. And We cannot have that in our lives. We've got to stay vigilant and take those thoughts captive. And I want that to be an act of worship, not just militant and disciplined, which they are. I think it's got to be, Lord, I want my eyes to be, you know, to gaze upon you. If I'm physically, so some of the practices I do, just for what it's worth, I will divert my eyes. You know, you hear in the Gospels, it says, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, I don't believe we're to go to that extreme. I believe, how do I do that? I look over here. I turn my gaze away from that because I can see an attractive girl walking by. We rarely talk about that. We almost act, well, that's not, you know, I don't struggle with looking at attractive things. No, our eyes naturally will see something that's attractive. But I must not linger there. I will physically look over here. It's the same if it pops up in a movie that I wasn't aware of or an ad or something. I'm going to go over here. Yeah. Same is true when I see that. So that's one thing. The other thing is I'll just do I'll think of someone 40 years from now and that, you know, and a grandma state or something that I'm not, you know, or I'll think of my grandma. I'm like, I love my grandma. Or I'll think of a sister. You know, I have to, I love my grandma, you know, so, or a sister, or I will mentally make it a disassociation. I don't want to continue a gaze. I don't want to. So I do a couple things like that just to keep my mind, my heart pure.
Yeah. On that note, I would say too, that there's a point as you pursue God where in your relationship with God, where things like lust, that will that flame will die or come down, right? But this rising flame of understanding what beauty is rises. So like what you're saying, you could look at a person or you can look at creation and recognize beauty. You see it everywhere. Oh. But beauty and recognizing beauty is different than recognizing lust, right? And so you begin to look at something and you, wow, that's a beautiful thing. Wow, God created that. That's beautiful. When it comes to maintaining purity in your own marriage or in your own home, your own heart, another practice, like what you're saying for me, at times when I see something, I'll pray for that person and change it. It really changes my heart. I mean, if you're looking at someone or if someone comes into, you know, your mind or something and you change it to where God, would you bless this young woman? Would you take care of her? Would you lead her? Would you provide a good husband for her one day? Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself in a relationship with God. You're bringing God into that conversation, that dialogue, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Just a few thoughts, because you mentioned Job in here, and I think the context of this story is awesome. Job 31, if you haven't read it, do. It's incredible. Job's being accused of some kind of secret sin that he's hiding, and that he should come and be honest with God, and that God would remove this great affliction that's upon his life. And so he cries out, and he's crying out, and he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? What would be my portion from God above and my heritage from the Almighty on high? And so you can see in his language, one, his eyes are not him. So it's not like his eyeballs are just, they are him and he can't control them. He's saying, I have made a covenant with my eyes. So they are a tool for me and I take possession of them and I use them, I direct them in a way that is right. Like, you can control this, is what Job is recognizing here. And then he's bringing in God to everything. Like, he's made a covenant and he's doing it. Why? Because my portion comes from God and my heritage comes from God. And if what God has given to me, I throw it away, what else would I have? And so he's recognizing the very blessing that God has given to him. And he's saying, this is the thing I will gaze upon. This is the thing I'm going to love. This is the one I'm going to put my eyes upon. Because if I don't, that's the blessing that God gave me.
Yeah.
You know, where else would I go?
Yeah.
You have the words of life.
Yeah. Where would I go? Yeah, I think I mentioned before the analogy of falling asleep at the wheel in terms of commitment. And like, if you think about, if you're driving a car late at night with your spouse, you're in the passenger seat. You know, if you start to get sleepy, you have to do the things that are going to keep you alert, to keep you on the road. That doesn't mean that you're resting your eyes because you're sleepy, because that means you're going to go off the road. That means that you are staying alert and looking through that windshield at the road that you're on. And I kind of take that and looking at, I am looking to the Lord for continual guidance. And I'm looking forward to the vision in the future that my wife and I have together, that if I don't keep that at the forefront, then there is high probability of going off of that road down into a ravine.
That's right.
Which is not just damaging to me, that's damaging to my spouse, that's damaging to my family. And then the other thing is too, Larry has said, as a husband, we represent our spouse everywhere we go. So are you conducting yourself in a way, and it's not behavior, this is a character thing, are you conducting yourself in a way that is honorable to your spouse, that everybody sees and says, that man is honoring to his wife? That's every interaction. That's whether it's coworkers, the people that you run into at the store, that's the people that you follow or don't follow on social media, that kind of stuff. How are you representing your spouse everywhere you go? And that's one of the things that for me practically keeps me in line with any of these distractions that we've talked about. Yeah. So
I grew up the son of a motorcycle racer. We grew up racing, riding motorcycles and bicycles and everything. And your analogy about the car, it really makes sense to me, because when you're riding dirt bikes, there's this fear when you're learning, if you go into a corner, if you hit that apex, the center of the corner, there's a fear because you're leaned over, you're on two wheels and you're leaned over. And there's a point, gravity and speed and all those things, how it works out, to where if fear grips you, you'll either let off the throttle and crash, mm-hmm. or you throttle down. That's the only thing that you can do. You turn it on, right?
Yeah.
And you have to actually cause momentum to stay going, right? You watch this in little kids when they're riding bicycles. Like, they want to go really slow because they're afraid. Well, you can't turn when you're going really slow. Mm-hmm. You're going to fall over. So you have to have momentum driving you in that direction. And the other thing my dad would always tell me is he would catch us. We'd be looking right in front of the front wheel. And when you do that, you go really slow because you're so concerned about what's right in front of you that you're not looking forward to something that's ahead. Mm. Yeah. And in marriage, I've found that, you know, when you go home, and if you go into your home, and let's say you go home and your house is filled with weeds, it's not mowed, the lawn's not mowed, the kitchen's a disaster, everything's filthy, it's not going to make you want to be there, right? Like, you're just not. But if you go home and you start dreaming and you're like, what would happen if I cut this grass and I painted these walls and I turned this old ratty home into something that was beautiful? It would be a place I'd love to be at. It's a place I want to be. And when you envision that with your wife, like when you project out with your wife and you're like, I want times of laughter and I want times of just enjoyment and pleasure and I want good smells coming from our kitchen, and you build for that, I mean, that's that good activity. That's that looking up. That's that throttling down when it comes to marriage. If you have no vision for what the home could be, well, then you're going to drift and you're going to find yourself in lesser pleasures, right? Lustful pleasures. But if you dream with your wife and you dream for your children, man, that causes a man to run different in life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stradling, being the single guy here.
Yes, sir.
Has this been, like, from your perspective, is this helpful for you even just as a single guy? Because I don't want people to think we're just talking to married dudes out here.
No, this is good. I think, you always have to have godly men in your lives, you know? So, I mean, Casey's talking about building his house and doing all that. He has his kitchen cabinets all over the floor right now. He was doing some lacquer. So, yeah, you gotta do the hard work, and you got to stay focused. And now I know how to drive a motorcycle and have a strong marriage. So,
you don't know how to drive a motorcycle by him explaining.
Oh.
You've got to actually sit on.
Okay, well, at the ministry, we're going to buy motorcycles. And that's what I heard. So, no, thank you, guys. That was great.
Well, on that note, guys, thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate getting to the time with you guys.
Thanks, AJ.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International, and it is produced by AJ Selby and Seth Stradling.